Podcast today's show at rte.ie/today with Sean O'Rourke.
Pat says, please ask Alain what he thought about the disgraceful refereeing of the World Cup final 4 years ago. Will New Zealand win again with his colleague's help? Well, I can't ask him that. He's gone. I suspect I would have got a polite no comment, as we did about the Sean O'Brien Pascal Pape incident last Sunday. You can tell Alain Roland that things are changing. I was at a Leinster School Senior Cup match recently where the referee was being abused from the sideline, and then a lovely compliment. The version of From Clare to Here was stunning. I'm a former professional musician. That's from a Kildare listener. And the good news is we're going to hear again in a few minutes from Paul Barham. Now, the diesel engine was designed more than a century ago, yet it remains the engine that more than others powers our 21st century world. The diesel is used everywhere, from mines to cars to trains to ships and lorries. Yet it has changed little since it was invented by Rudolf Diesel in 1892. Now, we'll talk in a few minutes about the implications of the diesel engines being in the news again recently. Sean Duke, our science and technology contributor, is here. Sean, the diesel engine, as I say, back in the news, but take us back to the start of it, invented by a German.
A German guy, yeah, called Rudolf Diesel. And he was building on the petrol engine, which had been invented about a couple of decades before. But the early petrol engines were very leaky. They weren't very efficient. They were extremely leaky and they were flammable. That meant, you know, all this petrol was all over the place. So if you wanted to put them, for example, in a vehicle, they could easily go on fire. They weren't very efficient. He thought he could come up with a better engine. And he worked for years on a patent, which he eventually got out in 1892. And this was based on a fuel, which became diesel. And the idea was to use pressurized air rather than the system that they had, which was spark plugs. And the pressurized air essentially would be compressed into a chamber to make the air very hot, so that when you sprayed a fuel onto that, it would immediately ignite. So it's the same principle today when we have our diesel engines. We have lots of these little explosions going on, as opposed to a petrol engine, which runs very smoothly, as we know, with the spark plugs and everything. These little explosions are still a little bit uncontrolled. So that's why we need various things like to have 4-stroke engines, 8-stroke engines, which I can go into, to smooth them out. So, yeah.
Did he have to invent the fuel before he invented the engine?
The fuel was there. It was a crude fuel. Essentially, with petrol, it's a very refined fuel. So what they do in a petrol engine is they refine it in these big refinery staff, after they take it out of the ground, and they mix it with air. So before it even goes into a petrol engine, it's an extremely refined fuel. Whereas diesel is a bit more like the stuff that you take out of the ground. It's full of all kinds of impurities, I should say, things like sulfur that they have to get rid of. And this means, of course, that when you burn that fuel, you can get emissions problems, which we've seen in the news recently.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute or so. Now, why is diesel, or is the diesel engine so important to keep the world economy turning?
Well, the diesel is an engine that's like a workhorse, essentially. If you need an enormous amount of power, your petrol engine isn't going to do it. You need to have your diesel engines, because using the compressed air, you can generate a lot more horsepower. It's potentially more efficient. The engine shakes, but you can produce more horsepower. So typically, say in the big ocean liners, say the ships that you see coming in and out of Dublin port with the containers on top, they will, I can guarantee you, have a diesel engine in them, because the petrol engine would simply not have the horsepower to move that stuff. Now, they move slower and they like to move at a constant speed, but still they can move up to 50 kilometres per hour on the sea. So these are the efficient engines that you see all over the place. They're in factories, they're in hospitals, they're very reliable. If there's an outage in a hospital, you can be sure that there's a diesel engine somewhere to back up the electricity. So they're safe. You know, you're not going to have a petrol engine in a submarine, for example, because, you know, it's flammable, could give off fumes. Diesel is much safer.
Literally much more explosive.
More explosive. The fuel is dangerous, so diesel is a far better option.
Now, diesel engines, they emit little carbon dioxide, relatively speaking, but that's often done at a cost of higher NOx emissions, and that's what the row in the States was all about. Explain that.
Exactly, yeah. Well, carbon dioxide is the one that we hear about in terms of emissions a lot. This is the one, the greenhouse gas, CO2. But the whole thing in the States, they've more focus in the regulations on these things called NOx, and that's nitrogen oxide, nitrogen dioxide, nitrogen trioxide, which is ozone, as we know it. And the Americans focus more on these than in Europe, because these actually actually have been linked by the American EPA with all kinds of serious health effects.
They on found the ground as opposed on to the ground, up in the ozone layer.
Yes, absolutely. That you know, they found that people that are living near roads, for example, will have a lot more asthma. They'll have a lot more emphysema, particularly children, particularly elderly people. Also, more serious things have been linked with it, like cardiovascular disease. So these NOx are really not good at all. And they have solved, really, the engineers have managed to solve the CO2 problem in diesels. They haven't solved the NOx problem. So the NOx problem, it was no surprise, it emerged in the US as an issue because they were struggling to meet the US EPA regulations on NOx. And I think what might have happened, this is my guess anyway, is that they just at some point they decided, we can't do this. We can't make cars that are going to produce very low emissions of NOx and also get the diesel performance that the Americans demand and the smooth running and everything else that an American car buyer will want. So they decided to cheat.
And has the diesel engine, has it developed much since it was invented over the, a century and a quarter ago?
It has. Well, I suppose the two big things really would be that the compressed air I mentioned earlier on, at the start you would have to have a big compressor. Anybody who's worked on a building site, you know, a compressor is a big noisy thing, compress air.
It shudders.
It shudders, yeah. I can remember working near one myself. And so trying to attach this to an engine, I mean, that's going to limit the amount of places that you can actually use the diesel engine, right? So they found a way around that you could actually get the air in without having to compress it, if you like. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was they got fuel injection. So as opposed to the diesel kind of randomly going into the engine, it was injected precisely where they wanted and how they wanted. In fact, the diesel was atomized. So it was all little particles and you had tiny little explosions rather than bigger ones, which made it a smoother engine.
But coming back to the issue now that's been highlighted by the discovery of how the Volkswagen people were effectively gaming the system in the States. Are we looking at a choice between having less efficient engines and less pollutant ones?
I think maybe if you got them to talk off the record, the engineers in VW and other car makers would probably say yes, that look, we can reduce the CO2, we can do that, but this NOx problem is a serious problem because to summarise really that the problem is that the engineers, the temperatures and pressures under which the diesel engine in a car runs best in terms of your pep, giving it a bit of pep that we all like in our car, or you need to get past another car or whatever, and it's fuel efficiency. If you want to run it for those two things, they're also exactly the same conditions that are going to convert the maximum amount of oxygen and nitrogen into NOx. So by giving people what they want, the natural output is going to be more NOx. So what do you do? Well, they obviously said, look, we're under pressure with the regulations. We can't do this. We can't have our cake and eat it. So we're going to cheat.
So that would, if the authorities, be they in the States or Europe, decide we're not going to tolerate that, the future might be, it mightn't be so rosy for the diesel engine, at least in cars.
Yeah, well, it mightn't be because they have to get over that problem. How are you going to have the pep, the efficiency, the comfort, the smooth running, all of that, and, you know, have your low NOx?
Well, it's one we'll be watching, no doubt you will be too. Sean Duke, science journalist and author, thank you very much indeed for coming in. We'll be hearing again from Paul Barham after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.